Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes, Harold Reynolds of MLB.com will join us on the show to preview the upcoming baseball season. Harold Reynolds will be on the show coming up in just a bit. Some breaking news that I'm not going to lie to you. I was very surprised to see Michael Strahan just tweeted. You don't got to play the music. It ain't that important. Michael Strahan on his Twitter account tweeted that he is fixing his teeth, so Michael Strahan is not going to have a gap anymore. Say it ain't so, man. That's one of the most identifiable things in sports is the Michael Strahan gap. Now he's out here fixing it. What's next? You're telling me that Anthony Davis is going to shave his unibrow? You're telling me that Harden is going to go clean shaven? What's happening here? Michael Strahan can't fix his teeth. I don't want that.
Why would he do that? Like, that's a trademark, and I'd understand that if it was either for health purposes or if it's a pain in the ass, but at this point, I mean, that's kind of how people know you. I would say besides David Letterman and the kid from, what was it called, Mad Magazine? Like, that's one of the most famous gap teeth humans to ever walk the face of. Madonna?
Mike Tyson's up there, too.
Mike Tyson? That's true. Spinal. It was Spinal with Mike Tyson. But, yeah, I mean, if you got a gap, too, just, you know, embrace it.
I can't believe Michael Strahan would do that to the rest of us. Michael Strahan, big breaking news. Michael Strahan fixed his teeth. He no longer has a gap. He's going to look like the rest of us. I can't believe Michael Strahan would do that.
That's a big gap, though, I will say. Like, it feels like they're almost – that gap's big enough where there probably should be a tooth in between that gap. Like, if you look at McDonald's, you really have to look close, or David Letterman. Like, it's maybe a centimeter. I would say that's close to an inch that he's dealing with inside that mouth.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be joined by Harold Reynolds. Let's talk about baseball, and baseball doesn't have the visibility and markability of some of the other sports.
And I don't understand why. Like, I genuinely believe that a handful of the top 10, top 20 baseball players in the world could walk in here in street clothes, and you and I, who host a sports talk show for a living and love baseball, wouldn't know who they are. And if you're talking about football, there's plenty of excuses, right? Well, they only play 16 games per season, or they're wearing a helmet and shoulder pads. It's a little difficult to identify them, but everybody knows what Peyton Manning looks like. Everybody knows what Patrick Mahomes looks like. Everybody knows what Tom Brady looks like, and all these different guys, J.J. Watt, Troy Polamalu, guys that play now, guys that used to play, offense, defense. I mean, it's not that way with football. It's certainly not that way with basketball. Everybody and their grandma knows what LeBron James looks like, and Kyrie Irving, he's got a movie and all these things. I don't know what it is about baseball, but if you think about it, C-Dot, and I'm being dead honest, who's the best player in baseball right now?
Probably Mike Trout or Mookie Betts.
I think Mike Trout or Mookie Betts could both walk down the street in street clothes on the plaza right now, Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and maybe get stopped by a couple of people like Rob that would be like, hold on, are you, would you sign this for me? But most of the time, they wouldn't get hounded. Could you imagine if Tom Brady walked down the plaza or Patrick Mahomes? So I don't know what it is about baseball, but they do an awful job when it comes to marketing their players.
I just think this is what baseball is, and people just need to accept that's what it is. Like, I think baseball over the last, I would say, maybe 10 to 15 years, maybe a little bit more, if you want to say like 9/11 was maybe the first time that everybody as a country was really into baseball. Baseball is a very local niche sport, and there's nothing wrong with it being that. It's super successful on a local level. But you and I do this. When do we ever talk about baseball teams that aren't the Kansas City Royals? Do we think the audience cares about baseball teams that aren't the Kansas City Royals? When you're at home and you're sitting there and you got all your different options, you got Hulu and YouTube and Netflix, do you ever just sit and watch Mets v. Angels in an interleague matchup? No, I got no interest in watching that. So I think what's different than the NFL is the NFL has conditioned us where, sure, you got a favorite team. You love the Kansas City Chiefs. But you'll watch Sunday Night Football. You'll watch Thursday Night Football. You care about the league because the league feels connected. Same thing with the NBA. You'll watch random NBA games even if you don't have a favorite NBA team or a favorite NBA player. That's just not how baseball fans consume the sport. baseball fans know their team. They're really into their team, and they don't really care to watch or follow the other team. So I think it creates the situation where you're talking about is none of the other players are visible to you because you don't really care about them.
That's a really good point. My question is, why? Why in all of the sports?
Inventory. It's so many games. Like, okay. if you're a diehard Royals fan, and let's say you go to 20 games or so, and you sit and you watch every single game. When do you have time really to watch and follow the other things with all the different, like,
they play 81 basketball games a year, and everybody can tell you what Kevin Durant looks like and LeBron James and Giannis and all these different guys, and maybe it's because they're 7 foot brothers walking down the plaza versus
basketball's
Mike Trout.
Not local though. The NBA is not local in that way. Like, you listen to national sports talk radio, right?
Yeah.
When do they ever talk about Major League Baseball? Like, whenever you listen to Cowherd, whenever you listen to, when are they ever randomly just talking about baseball? That's not how baseball is consumed by the masses. We talk about contracts in baseball. Tomorrow, if Francisco Lindor signed a 10-year, $300 million, we'll talk about it. But we don't really have national conversations about baseball. We have it about the NFL. We have it about the NBA. We have it about college sports. We just don't talk about baseball in that way.
You just hit the nail on the head right there. You said college sports. That's what it is. Like, at all these other levels, we get a chance to see these guys in college. I saw Kevin Durant. And then I saw him play in the NBA, right? You got a chance to see a lot of these guys. Same thing with football. Like, you got a chance to watch an Andrew Luck in college, then he goes on to the NFL. These guys in baseball, I don't know about you, bro, but I only watch college baseball during the College World Series or twice a year when I go out to Hoagland Ballpark to watch my Jayhawks play out in Lawrence. So I think that's a problem, too, is it's not like you go from one level to the next. Look at Bobby Witt Jr. You go from one level to Arizona ball, to some weird fall league, to Arkansas, to Omaha, and then eventually up with a big league club, and I'm just going to call it like it is. That strips away part of the enjoyment of baseball. I love the fact that the Chiefs draft Patrick Mahomes. We can start talking about him 5 minutes later, and then a couple of years later, he's the Chiefs starting quarterback, and then after that, we're having a Super Bowl parade. In the case of a lot of Royals players, think about Bubba Starling. I know it didn't pan out, but the excitement from the time they drafted him to the time we actually saw him at the big league level, it was like 7 years at that point. I don't know about you guys, but my excitement level, it wears off. Like, when Pacquiao finally fought Mayweather, that thing needed to happen 7 years before. When it actually happened, that was good.
I think the inventory also just changed that when you and I were growing up, we didn't have the opportunity to watch all 162 baseball games on television.
That's true.
I know right now they're dealing with some cord-cutting issues and Sinclair and YouTube TV, but if you want to, you don't ever have to go to the game. You can sit at home and watch every single Royals game. When you and I were growing up, maybe they put 30 of them on TV. The Braves were always on TV. You could watch them on TBS, and then was every game on TBS. So if you really had an appetite to watch baseball, you didn't have the inventory to watch it with your own team. But now that we've expanded it, and you can watch your team whenever you want, and you watch, like, it's not like people don't watch and care about baseball. We see the local ratings for individual markets all the time. They do watch baseball. They consume baseball. They obviously go to baseball games. But I think the portion of the baseball fan, like right now, if we just started randomly doing a Mets topic, the text line would tell us, shut up, I don't want to hear about this. And they would treat it like we're talking about high school football.
I'd tell you to shut up if you want to do a Mets topic. Who cares?
I think that goes to your point about why it isn't marketable. You don't care about any of the other teams other than your team. We can talk about a random NFL team. Like right now, we do it all the time. Hey, this is what San Francisco did. This is what Philadelphia did. When do we ever do that with baseball? So how do you create that connection between the audience and the fan base if they don't want to hear it?
That's a pretty bad job then by baseball. If that's your answer, that we care about other NBA teams. We don't even have a team here. We care about other NFL teams. We have the best team here. But every team in their market only cares about their team. And that's a terrible job by baseball. That Mike Trout could walk down the streets of any city that's not Los Angeles and not get hounded. That's a terrible job by them. And I think you're right when you talk about back in my day when I was growing up, you either got games on Channel 62, and then they moved to Channel 29 on the WB. And then for a while they were on Metro Sports, and they changed their name a couple of times. And then something crazy happened. They decided, like all the other teams in baseball, that they would get a contract where you could watch all their games, or if you choose to, you can listen to all their games right here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. So again, just to kind of bring it full circle, I don't know exactly what it is, because people definitely love their own local baseball team. In Kansas City, they love watching and listening to baseball more than maybe any other market in the country, but you're right. Once you start talking about another baseball team, they just shut it right off.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be joined by Harold Reynolds. He'll join us to help preview the Royals season. But before we catch up with Harold Reynolds, we've got some baseball toss-ups to help get you in the mood for opening day. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey.com app. Radio.com is rebranded. It is now the Odyssey app. If you have the radio.com app, it will simply update and you will see the new look. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Coming up in 5 minutes, we are expected to be joined by Harold Reynolds of MLB.com to help preview the start of the baseball season. Harold Reynolds set to join us coming up in 5 minutes. Before we're joined by Harold Reynolds, we got some breaking news in the world of the NFL. Rob, hit it. Your Kansas City Chiefs have agreed to a one-year contract with an offensive lineman. No, he does not play left tackle. His name is Austin Blythe. He played center the last 5 years for the Los Angeles Rams. He is now a free agent. He has signed a deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. To give you a little bit of background on the youngster, he is 28 years old. He will turn 29 in June. He was drafted in the 7th round, 248th pick. Back in 2016, he was also a 4-year starter at Iowa. I think this signing sort of goes with what their message has been. I'm not here telling you that I know a whole lot about Austin Blythe. He plays center for the Los Angeles Rams. I'm just keeping a buck with you. But if you look at his availability the last 5 years, it goes in line with almost exactly what Joe Tooney is. In 2018, he played in 16 games. In 2019, he played in 15 games. Last year, he played in 16 games. You're talking about a guy that they can depend on. If you want to think about what I feel is the theme of the offensive line so far with the moves that they've made, is I think Blythe now is probably the favorite to be the starter over Nick Allegretti. I don't think he's coming in here to be in some competition with the 7th-round guy. He's coming in here to start now at center for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's been an available player. So you look at it, left guard, super available, hasn't missed a game as a starter in the NFL. Your center has only missed one game the last 3 years, so he's going to be an available player. They're really starting to prioritize health and availability, obviously the opposite of what they expected from their left and right tackle when they let go of Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher.
Are you sure you even say his last name right? Have you ever heard of this guy?
I mean, it is B-L-Y-T-H-E. That seems like Blythe to me. I could be wrong, but that's how I'm pronouncing it until someone tells me otherwise. That looks like Blythe.
He could be a Blith. You don't know. I've never seen that last name on anybody. I never heard of this cat. I know the same stuff that you do. He played 16 games last year at center. According to Tom Pelissero, he started 31 games at right guard the 2 years prior. So he's kind of like Tooney that he can play. He's healthy, and he can play multiple positions on the offensive line. Let me know when they get a left tackle, and then I'll get excited because, as you mentioned, like, is he an upgrade from Allegretti at center?
This guy's going to start, though. Like, I
think that Allegretti would have been fine. Like, he wouldn't have been great, but we're talking about the center position here. Again,
I'm guessing this is an upgrade over Allegretti.
I agree. That's why they made the move. That's why the Chiefs did it. Now they can slide Allegretti around kind of as a backup like he was last season, let him play whatever position they need. Who's the left tackle? Because it's kind of like they keep filling in the positions that they could get better. There's no question about that. Like, I do think that they've improved at center. compared to where they were this morning. How important is that when you don't have a left tackle out there? That's when I'm going to be really excited. And it sounds like, and we had on Binkley in the first hour, that the Chiefs are headed down the path of getting a rookie left tackle to protect Patrick Mahomes. And maybe I'll feel a little bit better after I see that guy in training camp or with live bullets playing in an NFL game. But just the thought of a rookie left tackle, a guy who's never played a snap in the NFL, that Frank, I never heard of, you probably never heard of, is going to go out there and protect Patrick Mahomes for the whole season. It sounds kind of scary when you say it out loud.
This is also why I don't think that the Kyle Long signing is a starter signing and why I think it's a depth kind of signing. Like, I would assume that this Austin Blythe kid is going to start on the offensive line. He's been super healthy, super available the last 3 years. Obviously, Joe Tooney's going to start on this team. You don't give him $80 million. He's not a competition with anybody. The Long signing just goes against that. Like, part of it wasn't just building up the starting five. It was building up their starting eight. Injuries are going to happen, attrition, especially now with the longer season. So you need to probably be eight or nine deep at the offensive line spots. So now Allegretti, who has started in a Super Bowl, he goes from being a starting player to a backup player in case something goes wrong. Also versatile. He could move around. Also possible that Blythe plays right guard for this team as a starter, and Allegretti starts center. Like, that's kind of the advantage of having a guy who's versatile. And then from your backup guys, you could have Nick Allegretti, Kyle Long. I assume they're going to draft more than one offensive lineman. They're not just going to potentially pick up a left tackle. Like, you want to talk about really rebuilding and investing in Patrick Mahomes. It's solidifying up front. They've done that at a couple of positions. I'm with you on left tackle, but there's still some big-time moves out there that I'm still not going to be too worried about it. We got to learn more about this guy, and over some point we'll talk to somebody who knows a lot more about him than I do. But just looking at the availability, looking at who I thought was going to play center in Nick Allegretti, this is an upgrade at the position.
No question. And the Chiefs do have depth now on the offensive line. I actually thought they were pretty deep at offensive line last year, all things considered. Think about all the backups that played and eventually played in the Super Bowl. It was, four of the five different guys from the Super Bowl before that started. So, yeah, I mean, this is what they had to do this offseason. Again, I'm not trying to pound it too much because people know how I feel at this point about the offensive line and the lack of signing a left tackle at this point. It's great to have mashed potatoes and gravy, and it's great to have corn on the cob and all the side dishes, but if you don't have the steak, in my opinion, you don't really get full, and that's what the Chiefs need at this point. So until you tell me that the Chiefs made a serious offer to Alejandro Villanueva and Alejandro Villanueva seriously considering it, that's when I'll be super excited. If you tell me that they offered Russell Okung and Okung considering it, I'll be a little bit excited. Or if you tell me that the Chiefs have identified who their next left tackle is going to be in the draft and we start coming up with a couple of names. But if we're just pretending like the position is just out there and they're going to fill it with somebody, I'm kind of nervous about that situation.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We're expected to be joined by Harold Reynolds here very quickly. You can watch Harold as part of MLB Network's 17 consecutive hours of live opening day coverage starting this Thursday at 8 a.m. Central on MLB Network. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of the best baseball voices and minds in the game. He does great work for MLB Network. Harold Reynolds joins us on the show today. Harold, appreciate you coming on.
Hey, guys, you got me?
We got you loud and clear.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Let's start here. We talk so much to people who locally follow the Kansas City Royals. What's the national perspective for the Royals heading into this year?
Well, I love what Dayton Moore's doing, man. You can see it coming. He is building a powerhouse. And I think all you got to do is look no further than Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, you look at what this kid's doing and how quick he's coming around. Even that decision in the draft to pick him when they did was a big, big decision because they had about three or four players right there that they could have gone with. But it's just little things like that, the players they're adding, contracts they've done, like with Renfro, with all the things they've really been building up doing around there. And he drafted a ton of college pitching over the last two or three drafts that I think you're really going to start seeing coming forward because they're going to get there quicker than most guys you sign out of high school as pitchers. So he's doing a good job of rebuilding this thing.
Harold, you bring up Witt Jr. There was a lot of conversation about him breaking camp and starting the season with the Royals. Did you agree with them sending him down to at least start the 2021 season?
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't have Mondesi, I can see him coming up. But for a young player like that, who you know is going to be a shortstop, the worst thing you can do is make him a utility player. That happened to me. You know, I broke the big club, and I went as the extra man. In my first year in the big leagues, I had like 100 at-bats over 4 months, 5 months. I probably hit about 100, and it was frustrating, was not good for me, and it kind of set my development back. And until I was ready to come and be an everyday player at my position, my development didn't continue. So I would hate to see him start his at 20 years old. He needs to go down, get at-bats, especially this. I'll end it with this. He had a year last year with COVID where there was no minor league season. And so he played a little bit on a taxi squad. But we're looking at, what, 20 at-bats? So he's been out of high school, hasn't had a full season yet, and he's had 20-some minor league ABs, and you've got to bring him to the big leagues. He's not ready yet. He just needs to go down and play.
You're being a little too harsh on yourself, Harold. You hit 203, actually, that first year. So double what you were talking.
203.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little, I'm just saying it's much more respectable than the 100 that you were giving yourself. You mentioned Mondesi's name. Around here, that's been, I don't know, I'll just call it a source of frustration because we know how good he can be. We also know how bad he can be. So I guess what are your expectations for him this season?
Well, I'm hoping he turned a corner looking at him last year. I mean, he's got immense talent, right? And I think he just has to settle in and go play every day. He came up under unusual circumstances when he made the World Series team as a pinch runner, right? But, I mean, you look at the arm speed, switch hitter, he's got power, crazy pass. This is a year for him. He's got to show, and he's really got to play and perform. So I want to judge him on really this year. It's your time to take that next step. If he doesn't, then they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with him. And are they going to keep him around, or are they going to trade him and let somebody else see if they can get that out of him? But that's where he's at. That's the beauty of having Witt coming on, because he's looking over his shoulder. He knows what's coming. He saw him every day in spring training. He knows what's knocking on the door.
How far away, Harold, should Royals fans think this team actually is in reality? Because I know that once they went to the World Series in 14, then won it in 15, we all knew that it was going to be a few bleak years, but now we're talking about 5 or 6 years removed. When should Royals fans expect that they can actually get back to the postseason?
Well, I was hoping for the expanded playoffs this year because I think that they had a shot. They're going to surprise people. I think the White Sox, to me, are the team to beat in the Central. I don't see that changing. The Indians will be good as well. And then the Royals are right, they're there. They're not at that level. They're like a step or two back. So I would say within a year, they're in contention of battling with the top teams in baseball. And I think they'll know that, and I think you'll probably see a few free agents fill in the gaps that they need to get to that are high-end free agents that can really help them get to where they want to go. So they're right there. You got this year, I think it's more development and growth. But next year, I'm looking at them being a team that's going to contend.
Right now, we're talking to Harold Reynolds. He played in Major League Baseball from 1983 to 1994. He also got his broadcasting start joining ESPN in 1996. Harold, I'm really excited to hear you say that because I've been calling myself Hope Harrison. I have the Royals winning about 77 games this year. When I'm looking at their lineup, I'm looking at their pitching, I also kind of see the same thing that you see. Obviously, this team isn't the Indians, or excuse me, this team isn't the Twins or the White Sox, but this should be a contending competitive team for most of the season.
Oh, I totally agree. I see them. They could be a 500 team, really. And I know we're talking about five, you know, four-game difference, you and I, but I see them right there. I really do. I like where they're headed. I love the young talent. And I just think that the Twins may have taken a step back from where they were, and I don't see the Indians being as good as they used to be in the last couple of years. So that allows them to sneak in. So we'll see. But I think the Royals talent-wise is coming. Really do.
Right now we're talking to Harold Reynolds for a couple of more minutes. When you talk about the Royals pitching, which of those young guys do you really like? Because you kind of talk about how they tried something different where they weren't signing the high school kid in the draft. They were going for more college players. So in theory, you would assume that those guys could be coming up here in the next 12 to 18 months, potentially.
Well, I love Brady Singer. I liked him when they picked him in the draft, seeing his stuff at Florida, and then watching him come up and throw the way he can. Honestly, he, to me, is going to be a guy that you can – he reminds me of Brett Saberhagen, you know, where you got that late movement. You can command a strike zone with a lot of different things. So I think he's a guy you can build your rotation around.
We were talking earlier today about baseball compared to the NBA and the NFL and how everybody knows when the best players in the NBA are walking down their street or the NFL, but Mike Trout or Mookie Betts could walk down the middle of Kansas City and might not be stopped at all. Why do you think that is?
Probably one, physically, you know, I mean, NFL players are bigger, basketball players are taller, so they kind of stand out in society. Mookie Betts is 5'8", if I give him
really
that. You know, yeah, he's not in stature. He is not that big. So he's going to fit in with anybody anywhere. Mike Trout, yeah, but you're going to look at Mike Trout and go, man, does he play football? Because he's big. But you're not going to look at him and say, that's Mike Trout. But the other thing that we have to do in baseball, and what I love about MLB Network is, you know, we're covering all 30 teams. We got to focus on these players. We do that all the time. But as a game, as a Major League Baseball, we've got to make our players more recognizable. And, you know, we got to get guys like Trout in the playoffs. That's where people see you and know you. And now he can't go to Kansas City because he's been in the playoffs and people know who he is. But that's where exposure starts to happen, when you're playing in the big games and doing big things at that stage. And for Mike Trout to not be recognized, it's a sad place for our sport to be because he's been so great for so long.
What if there's a sports talk host, let's say, in a place like Kansas City that's made a statement a time or two that said something to the effect of, Bryce Harper's the most overrated player in baseball. What would you say to that sports talk host? Would you say that he's crazy? Would you say that maybe he's onto something?
Well, I'd have to tell him, let's take another look. I don't think he's the most overrated player. He has an MVP already. He's only 27 years old. And I think he's going to be one of the greats. And actually, at the end of the day, with his contract that he signed, he's going to end up in Cooperstown. So I tell that sportscaster, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He just is. He's going to play 12 more years. He's going to hit 30-plus homers a year. And he's going to end up in Cooperstown.
Harold, last thing here, appreciate your time. You played your entire career in the American League from 1983 to 1994, so you took a lot of trips to Kansas City. What were those battles like against the Royals during the Royals' heyday back from that 1980 to about 1990 stage?
The Royals were awesome. I mean, they were such a great team. I played well against them, and I remember I got my first major league hit off Larry Gura. And then I hit a triple later in the game, and to get the third base, and George Brett go, man, you guys are putting it on us. And we're like, what? You know, I was like, are you kidding me? You're George Brett. They were just awesome. And really, for a player in Seattle who were losing, they gave me great advice. I remember I threw a ball away to lose a game in Kansas City one night, and I got my head hung. I'm sitting in the dugout. I lost the game. And all of a sudden, clubhouse guy says, hey, you got a phone call. So I go over, and it's Frank White. He says, meet me in the parking lot. I'll give you a ride back to the hotel. I'm like, Frank White? And he tells me, look, on that ball right there, the ball's going to bounce higher on this hot carpet here in Kansas City. You got to catch it. But you got time. Set yourself and make a throw. If the guy's safe, he's safe. But you give nobody a chance when you make an errant throw. I took that advice and ran with it, and I eventually ended up breaking Frank's gold glove streak. But those are the things that the Royals did for me. Willie Wilson was a switch hitter. He talked to me about, you know, having identity on both sides of the plate. You're not the same hitter on both sides, so think about what you're doing. So those guys, when I talk about the Royals, I take that in, and I have great memories of those guys because they helped develop me without even knowing it.
That is – Harold Reynolds joining us on the show today. He played in the major leagues from 1983 to 1994, also started his broadcasting career in 1996. If you're the same age as Sean, Rob, and I, you basically grew up watching Harold Reynolds break down baseball on television. Harold, appreciate you coming on today. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Go Royals.
Absolutely. That's Harold Reynolds joining us on the show today, courtesy of MLB Network. I didn't know this until I looked it up. I mean, he was on ESPN in 1996. I mean, when you talk about Baseball Tonight and Web Gyms and Peter Gammage, remember we grew up watching him a lot on ESPN. There's some people that you just associate with covering the sport of baseball. I think Reynolds is pretty high up on that list.
I'm not saying he's Peter Gammons or Timmy Kirkjian. I think they're the best. But, yeah, he's been in the game for a long, long time.
He's kind of like Barry Melrose. I'd probably put him in that category.
He's Barry Melrose-ish.
Those other guys to me are just reporters, so it's a lot different. Like Peter Gammons, I think their role is. But I'm talking like former player, talking head for baseball. I don't know if there's many people that you would put up on that list that have been doing it for. 96 is a long time ago, man.
Peter Gammons is brilliant. Like, I think the three smartest people that I've ever seen are my Grandpa Lee, the late, great Alex Trebek, and Peter Gammons. And I don't know how smart any of those people actually are, but if you just judge them on the way they look, those people knew everything.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll take a journey inside the mind of the machine. The code word for 330 is treasure, T-R-E-A-S-U-R-E, treasure, T-R-E-A-S-U-R-E. Text the word treasure to 72881. There's a lot of optimism surrounding the Kansas City Royals. I know you're not really in the, I don't care how many games they win, I just want to see improvement. For most of the people that we talk to that really follow this team and cover it on a day-in, day-out basis or sort of follow it from the national perspective, like Harold Reynolds, who certainly isn't digging in the weeds as much as a guy like Josh Fernier is, there seems to be a renewed hope that the losing is sort of behind the Kansas City Royals. Obviously, they're not in that Chicago, White Sox, Minnesota Twins. Those are, I would say, confirmed playoff teams. I'd be really surprised if the White Sox didn't make the playoffs this year. Something would have to go terribly wrong for them to miss the playoffs this season. But the Royals are right there kind of building, stockpiling pieces, getting ready to make another one, another kind of run. It does feel like the 2012-2013 season. I'm not saying it's going to have the same result as 14 and 15 did, but the entire tenor around the Royals really started to change in 12 and 13, where you really felt like they were building towards something and there was going to be real tangible expectation from the fan base. And obviously those teams eventually cashed in.
13, that team won 80 plus games.
86 games.
Yeah, this team's not going to win 86 games. So it might have close to the same feeling. It's not going to have the same results. I'd be thrilled if somehow this team went out there and shocked everybody. I mean, absolutely everything would have to go perfectly right. 86 games? That's an absolute pipe dream.
I think that's next year, though. I mean, so
yes, but that's what I'm talking about.
So I'm saying, if we're using 12 as an example, so in 12 they won 72 games, which I'd be a little disappointed if this team won 72 games, but it'd certainly be a marked improvement over how they played the last years. That, I mean, their last full seasons, they won 58 games and 59 games. And then in 13, they took a pretty massive jump. They went from 72 to 86. I think the 86 season could be next year. Like, let's say this season goes relatively well for the Kansas City Royals. Talking about one more offseason, you're talking about one more free agency. We're expecting to get most of those pitchers that are still down on the minors. We expect, I'd be kind of surprised if Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't a significant part of the 2022 Kansas City Royals. I don't think the 86 next year is that far-fetched if this team takes the proper step forward that we expect them to do.
86 would still be a lot. Like, even if they go out there this year and get to your total of 76, 77 wins, and they go out there the next year and win another 9 or 10 games, that's a lot. Is it possible? Sure. All I'm saying is, and I know we're having fun with the whole Hope Harrison thing and all that, all I'm saying is that for a team, as you point out, that the last two full seasons lost over 100 games, and that you and me and Rob and most people in Kansas City and Harold Reynolds, who we just brought on from MLB Network, say that, and Vern, that not this year, but next year, the Royals should be a playoff team. That's where I am. I'm firmly in the middle that they're not going to be awful. They're not going to lose 100-plus games like they have the last couple of years. And they're not going to win the 86 games or 83 games like I think they're going to a year from now. So this is part of the journey to get to the destination. And to me, overachieving this year is just being in it. Like, if we're talking about the trade deadline comes around, the Royals don't trade away significant pieces, and then the end of the season rolls around with a couple of weeks left, we're trying to come up with theories and reasons and ways where they can creep in the back door of the playoffs. To me, that's a good year.
I'm looking at sort of a 2019 team and why I think it's a little bit unfair to this team to kind of hold them to the standard. So the last time we saw a full season of Royals baseball, because I don't put a whole lot of stock in last year, obviously a very weird year. They didn't have Salvador Perez for the entire season. Remember, Salvador got hurt in spring training, so he wasn't on the 2019 team. Obviously, major difference. Salvi could even be 80% of what he was last year. That's a huge step up from, I mean, their catchers that year were Martin Maldonado and Cam Gallagher played a majority of their catcher games back in 2019. Ryan O'Hearn was their first baseman. Billy Hamilton was at center field. Bubba Starling played a lot in right field.
This is quite the squad.
I mean, that team just wasn't very good. Like, regardless of what you think about this team and the question marks that they have, just the raw numbers in their lineup is so improved from that team in 2019 that I legitimately think they got a chance to be competitive this year. I'm telling you, I'm not holding them to just the how do we feel or guys taking step forwards. This team needs to, at a minimum, win 75 games this year. I think they put the resources into doing it. I think there's certainly the talent to do it that I think we got to hold them to a tangible win objective this year. And I think that's around 75 games.
Well, MLB.com ranked their top 10 lineups, and they also gave three honorable mentions out there. And it's going to piss you off. The Royals were not one of them. They had the Yankees, the Dodgers, Toronto, San Diego, Atlanta, the Astros, the Mets, the White Sox, the Twins, the Angels, the Nationals, Boston, the Cubs, and the Royals were nowhere to be found. So I appreciate your optimism, and I agree with everything you're saying. The Royals lineup is significantly better than it's been the last couple of years. How is it compared to the rest of baseball? And how many of those holes have they actually filled? I think we're about to find out.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just got to prove it on the field.
Sure.
Like, I'm not really expecting the Royals to rate really high on these sort of national polls because they haven't done anything. But if you've kind of followed the team, look at the pieces that they've put together, and if guys can, not everybody's going to exceed their expectations. If guys can play to their expectations, I don't think they're going to be the 17th best lineup in baseball this season. Coming up on the other side, we'll take a journey inside the mind of the machine. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey.com app.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We have a very busy show planned tomorrow. It is our last show before opening day. At 2:15, Dennis Leonard will be on the show. At 3 o'clock, Rex Hudler will be on the show. 3:45, Mayor Quentin Lucas. At 4, Mark Gubiza. 4:45, Joe Randa. And in the 5 o'clock hour after the hits, Brett Saberhagen will be on the show talking Royals baseball. A majority of the day tomorrow to get you ready for the last day before opening day. You can catch opening day right here on 610 Sports Radio. I actually believe that you're going to be able to finally listen to it on the app as well. Don't quote me on that, but I feel pretty sure I read that this is going to be the first year that you'll actually be able to hear it on the app. So a lot of times when you would go during our show, it'd be like Fox Sports Radio. I think you're going to be able to hear it on the app. So that's pretty cool. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk some college basketball as we are down to the last, 6 teams left in the NCAA tournament as we narrow it down to 4 today with 2 more games today. We'll also catch up with Cody Tapp in the 4 o'clock hour and talk some Royals baseball. But before we do all of that, let's take a journey inside the mind of the machine.
Could we not get the hammer, Bob Hamlin, on the show tomorrow?
If you can help us find his number, I'm more than happy to have Bob Hamlin on the show. I'd love to talk to Bob Hamlin.
Or I'll make that happen. You know how much I love the hammer, Bob Hamlin. Or get MC Hammer. One or the other. I'd be satisfied. Speaking of baseball, Kauffman Stadium, what's the most underrated frozen treat at the ballpark? Dippin' Dots, the frozen lemonade, or the chocolate malt with that stick that gives your tongue a splinter every time?
I don't know if this is going to answer your question or not. None of them are underrated because everybody has a great appreciation for them. Who hates the Frosty Malt? Who hates Dippin' Dots? Who doesn't like the frozen lemonade? Everybody loves all of those things. Those things aren't underrated.
Okay, when you talk about the frozen lemonade, I've never met a man, woman, child that has a problem with the frozen lemonade. You're right. On a hot day, bro, that's like getting...
Who hates the Frosty Malt?
The Frosty Malt's got that layer of frozenness on the top of it. You know what I'm talking about. And then that spoon, it either breaks or definitely gives you a splinter. Like the
Frosty... Then get a regular spoon.
You always say we got to keep it 100. It ain't that good. Turns into liquid at the bottom of it. Like, it's fine. The first couple of bites are fine.
It tastes just like a Frosty from Wendy's. It is the exact same. You don't like the chocolate Frosty from Wendy's?
I do, because I can see him squeeze it out of the machine. It's fresh.
Yeah, it seems it's the exact same to me.
It's not, though. It's not. And Dippin' Dots are the ice cream of the future since 1984. San Francisco, talking about getting a quarterback at 3. All these quarterbacks aren't going to be good, and it sounds like they're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Who do you think has the biggest bust potential?
Mac Jones. I don't think Mac Jones fits what today's NFL is. Like, who's the great pocket passer in today's game?
Who's the great Alabama quarterback in the NFL right now?
I don't really evaluate it like that. Like, we would have said that same thing about Texas Tech, and the best quarterback in the NFL is from Texas Tech.
Touché.
You know what I mean? So, like, I don't really put a whole lot of stock into that as much as other people do. Like, I'm not judging Justin Fields based off what happened with Dwayne Haskins. Like, that's not really that fair to me. But yeah, I would say Mac Jones, that's not what today's NFL is. I'm not saying your quarterback needs to be Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, but your quarterback needs to have some level of mobility and athleticism. That's not what Mac Jones has.
I assume you watched some college ball last night.
I did.
Did you watch Baylor?
I watched both Baylor teams.
I enjoyed the women's game more than the men's game.
I thought the women's game was the best game of the night.
I did too. Like, that women's game was phenomenal. And again, Baylor, their athletic director, has it cooking right now with their women's basketball team, their football team, their men's basketball team, who still might go on and win the national championship. And it was back and forth. That was a great game. I agree with you. That was the best game of the night.
I just want to point out really quickly, not to just be well actually, guy, their AD used to be the former Missouri athletic director. Just all of these people were already in place. I'm not giving that guy any credit.
I knew that. I'm just saying.
He didn't hire any of these people.
He hired Dave Aranda. He hired the football coach. The latest one, not Matt Rhule.
Yeah,
he had one guy.
Well, the latest guy went like 2-8 this year. I'm talking about the last guy. Whoever hired all these people did a hell of a job.
Well, the last guy also was in a lot of problems, a lot of issues.
It's Baylor.
A lot of heat.
It's Baylor will always come full circle.
Baylor finds themselves in trouble quite a bit, really, if you think about it historically.
If you're the ninth biggest school in Texas, you kind of got to do some shady stuff.
And the best athletic program right now. They're better than Texas A&M. They're better than Texas. They're better than Houston. They're better than all of them. That's the crazy part. Baylor. I'm thinking about finally going back to Las Vegas. A lot of people are getting vaccinated. Do you consider Vegas to be a good sports city?
That's a really good question, actually. No. I don't know if you can really be a good sports city if you don't really have a local home market. I think it's a great place to watch and follow sports, but I don't know if you can put it as a great sports town the way that Boston is.
What about now that they have their own teams? Does that matter?
I mean, we haven't seen how they support the football team. I'm going to guess, just based on how Vegas is, we're going to see a lot of road games for the Las Vegas Raiders.
You've seen how they support the Golden Knights, though.
Yeah, it's hockey. I don't know anything about hockey. But, I mean, you're telling me whenever the Chiefs play the Raiders, I'm assuming it's going to be 40,000 Chiefs fans at that place.
60,000 Chiefs fans. The place seats like 70. I think that's going to be their problem in
Las
Vegas.
If that's the case, then you can't consider yourself to be a great sports town. If you think that about the team, we obviously haven't seen them. They haven't had a home game yet with fans. But if we think that there's a chance that it's going to be 80% red and 20% black, then you're not a good sports town. You're a good place to go watch sports and follow it, but you ain't a good sports town.
That's what the Chargers game was a couple of years ago in L.A. Not that L.A.'s ever been called a good sports town.
I think the Raiders actually have a fan base. I don't think the Chargers have a fan base.
By the way, that's exactly what Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals looked like. It was like 80-20 Capital fans, and they rolled up in there and made Golden Knight fans look like nothing.
It's Vegas. I mean, I bet there's people listening right now that are thinking, yeah, every single year my plan is to go watch that road Chiefs game, I'm one of those people. Tonight, USC takes on Gonzaga.
The 92 Dream Team.
Have I been wrong about Gonzaga or something? Did I miss something?
No, you're right.
I told you they were going to roll, and they have been.
You called it.
Do they – I know, and it was a very original thought, by the way. Undefeated, yeah. Number one all year. I told you! Do you think they roll tonight against USC?
I think USC is going to be pretty competitive. I think USC is the best defensive team that they've played so far this season, and that includes Kansas. I think USC is going to stop some of the layups at the basket and things that they get. I think what's going to be the difference is – I mean, I just don't know how you stop that spurt that happens. And that's just very abnormal for a college basketball team. What Gonzaga does, like, in NBA games is kind of common, where they'll have, like, a three-minute stretch where they'll go on, like, a 12-2 run. That's just not really how college basketball works. I saw this stat earlier today. So they have won 27 straight games by double digits. They also haven't scored less than 76 points since January 16th. They just are going to score at a super high level. I actually think the USC can defend them somewhat. I just don't know if they're going to be able to keep up with them on the scoreboard.
I doubt they can. That's USC's problem. It's been putting the ball in the bucket. It's not stopping the other team. They're great at that.
They were great in round two scoring.
Yeah, I remember.
That's all I really needed them to be good at. I don't care what they do after that.
I mean, they put it on Oregon, too. It wasn't like they were struggling to score against Oregon.
USC already served their purpose in my life. I don't really care what else happens. I don't really care.
UCLA,
they can do whatever. Today, they could not play today, and I'd be like, eh, it was a great run. Good job, USC.
Yeah, the other game is UCLA, Michigan. Do you remember Tyus Edney?
I do remember Tyus Edney. I've actually met Tyus Edney before. He was a nice guy.
That's all I wanted to know.
He's a really nice
guy,
actually.
Tyus Edney? You're not going to go ahead and come back at me with the Trey Burke? You're going to let that one go?
No, I mean, it's mine of the machine. I mean, believe me, I've already got my follies off enough.
Speaking of MU, the transfer train rolls on. Are they getting more than they've gave? Are they getting back more transfers than are transferring away?
Well, of course. But, I mean, I kind of feel like right now we're treating the transfer portal like the Chiefs offensive line. There's still so much. Missouri has 4 open scholarships. They'll fill them. Let's just see who they get. So I'm at the point, I'm not evaluating where their roster is because their roster is not complete. Their roster has 6 players on the team. So they'll figure it out. But I mean, I would say right now most teams have lost more players. Kansas has lost more players than they've gained based off the transfer portal. We obviously know they're going to fill them. And you let these guys go to recruit over them. So the game's the game, you know?
All right. Who coaches the current school longer, Konzo or Bruce?
Konzo. His contract's just wired very differently than Bruce Martin. Bruce Weber, excuse me.
Urban Meyer told us that the Jaguars are taking Trevor Lawrence. I can't believe it. Do you think he's going to be a good coach in the NFL?
I'm going to go no, but I don't think he's going to be there for very long. Like, just kind of knowing the track record, the age, and the health history of Urban Meyer, I'd be surprised if he was the head coach in 2025. I think he steps down after probably about year 3. Like, I don't think that Urban Meyer will be Trevor Lawrence's coach on his second contract.
Based on his history, he's Larry Brown. Like, he'll stick around for a couple of years. He'll get you good, real good. Maybe take you undefeated. And then bounce. I'm with you.
I don't really think that's what happened as much at Florida. I just think that he just let the inmates run the asylum, so to speak, down at Florida. And I don't know if he could have continued there with all the stuff we now know is going on in Florida. Think about how wild that team was, and that's what we know. Like, we all know. We've all been around sports enough to know. There's a lot of stuff happening right now that we just don't know about. We only know of about like 6 Aaron Hernandez incidents. There's probably way more than that.
It is weird that all that was going down with Aaron Hernandez. I'm sure you've heard the stories about the Pouncey brothers back in the day.
That's just like 4 of the players on the team. There's 90 kids.
And Tim Tebow was their quarterback. Like, it's just weird. That was the guy that was throwing the football. He was the one who was doing the whole God bless speech. And then we know what those guys were doing at night on the weekends.
One of their players got into a fight with the strength and conditioning coach.
Well, someone's going to fight the coach, man.
Somehow Cam Newton on this roster, too.
Yeah, Cam.
Cam Newton got arrested for stealing a computer, right? And then we got popped for?
He did. He also wrote his name on it, which is one of the dumbest things.
That's always been Urban's problem. He's always been not the best judge of character, if you think about it. Not just with his players.
I don't think he cares about that. I think he's trying to win football games.
I mean, at Ohio State.
I think he's trying to win football games.
All right, well, we'll see if he does it. Good luck to you. You made Outside the Mind of Machine, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino, that's where it's at.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk a little college basketball. As yesterday, watching the Elite Eight, one thing continued to ring in my head. I'll share it with you. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.